Coming up next, this young man, second timer at Your Stories. He is a podcaster, a video game expert and fanatic, and also, as of today, I believe a published author for the first time, published blogger. Yeah, that's...
Published blogger. I work for The Odyssey.
Yeah, very cool. Mr. Johnny Moulton, everybody.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little story about my dearly departed uncle and, you know, my grandmother, who was his caretaker for a while, but, you know, she's living in the bottom floor of our house right now, but they used to be essentially inseparable. But I spent, you know, enough time with these two people in my life to fill several summers. And, you know, in Berwyn, which was the second place that they actually lived, or the place where they first lived together. This was after my uncle had his... No, actually, it was after my grandmother could not live in her home in Chicago anymore. So this was actually before my uncle needed my grandmother to take care of him, just to show you how, you know, gracious he was. I mean, of course it's family. You do anything for family. But this man essentially let his sister move into his, you know, gigantic Berwyn house on a whim, on just in a moment, without question. And then he had a stroke a couple years in. And basically, I would go to Berwyn every summer. And in Berwyn, I was king. You know, anything I wanted, I had it. I was baby boy. I every cereal, the Fruity Pebbles, everything. Like, I mean, I was introduced to mixing cereals at this place. I did not know that Frosted Flakes and Fruity Pebbles could exist in the same bowl. Nor did I know that you could then mix granola with that and create a wonderful sort of crunchy sugar. I stayed up really late then. But yeah, and you know, every time I went there, I got new video games. My Uncle Robert would take me on a shopping trip to GameStop. We'd go and get some Salermo's, which is like this real... It's not that good pizza, but you know what? Pizza, when you're young, is just good no matter what. You get it so, you know, infrequently. So, you know, we'd go there, and I'd feel, you know, amazing. Because, you know, being at school, being at home, it sucks. And when you're out of school, being at home and being nerdy and not having friends, it sucks. But when you just have this, you know, one, basically big black Santa, I mean, who took you to get whatever you wanted, it was amazing. And, you know, experiencing that, it really developed my summers. I mean, I would essentially, this man gave me his laptop. And he said that it was his laptop, but he gave me his laptop. Let me tell you why. I broke his laptop at least 10 times. Because I downloaded so many free games. Because, you know, of course I don't want to spend money on laptop games. But I downloaded so many free games that, like, viruses would just be all of, like you would see just the weirdest advertisements. Some advertisements were stuff I didn't even know existed, you know, when I was, like, 8. So, I had to learn how to, you know, debug a computer at an early age just so it would be okay by the time he got there. And even when he found out, he was still like, okay, dude, come on. You gotta fix it a little bit better than that. And then that'd be the discussion. But even back in Chicago, you know, when I was 7, 8, living with my grandmother, because my mother had to take a, you know, 6-month-long trip or something for work. It was really weird. I don't remember it. All I remember is that she went to Disney World without me because it was in California. So we still, that's still a sore point. I'm probably going to talk to her about that when I get home. But, yeah, so I would, you know, I'd sit and basically have whatever I wanted to eat. My grandmother was like a master chef back then to me. Now I realize that, you know, buttered rice and buttered noodles and ramen and all that, like, salt was just delicious back then. So, I mean, of course, eventually there was a certain point when, like, I realized things were getting bad, even for me when I was seven, when I was, you know, taking Pepto-Bismol, like, you know, like, it was something regular to do, but, yeah, so I would watch, you know, weird Adult Swim animes late at night when she fell asleep. She wouldn't care if she was awake, because, I mean, we mostly just watched, like, Svengoolie on the U, and we'd sit and watch The Three Stooges and all that good stuff. But you know, my uncle passed very recently. I can't tell you the exact day. It was, you know, a couple months ago, and I think it's telling, and the reason why I wanted to tell this sort of impromptu rant slash story is that I remember the good times better than I do the bad times. I remember, you know, the playing games until late at night, the figuring out what fan fiction was one day, and then being like, I gotta stay away from this stuff forever. I remember the, you know, the trips, even the trips when I didn't get games, because it did happen a couple times. There was just nothing that I wanted. And I remember all of that more than that one day when, you know, I was there and he passed away. And, you know, the games that I got from him, one of which was the first Wii game I ever loved. Wii was a game system which back then, if you had it, it was like, you know, oh, you got the motion touch thing. But, you know, Xbox 360 was out. It was really low quality. It was like low fidelity and stuff. People were like, wow, it feels like I'm watching like a VHS tape or something. And so I felt a little bit salty about having it, not having the Xbox. Because, you know, kids are ungrateful and all that. But he got me this game, Boom Blocks, and it was this weird little game. Like, it was, like, it couldn't have been made sober, because it was like, it was like Jenga. It was like somebody said, it's so fun to knock down all the blocks in Jenga, but you have to build them back up. You have to, like, put them back in the box, and it's really annoying. But then they made a virtual version of that and populated with, like, these weird block creatures. And it was just the funnest thing for, like, an 11-year-old who, like, couldn't play GTA without his mom finding out about it. And I was just like, oh, my God, this thing's amazing. And he bought me that game full price. You know, all the other games, it was used, but $60 this man spent on that one game. And it kept me busy for the entire summer. And then this is the last game I'm going to talk about. And this really is, like, sort of symbolic and stuff. It was this one GameCube game. It was called Gacha Force. Now, Gacha Force was basically Toy Story on crack. And when I say it was Toy Story on crack, I mean, you were, like, these little action figures that got empowered by, like, a weird alien meteorite. So now they're, like, alive and stuff. So, yes, Toy Story on crack. And basically they would, like, fight each other and stuff. Now, Gacha Force was, like, what, $30? Now it's, like, $300. And what that represents to me is that these little moments, you know, these little... Because, I mean, I wouldn't play that stuff now. I don't find significance in it right now. I mean, I do, but I don't find... You know, I wouldn't do the stuff that, you know, old me did back then. But just the fact that that game, which was worth so little, is now worth like 10 times, it's amazing to me. And to me it shows that, like, just because of the fact that, you know, I don't remember when my uncle died, even though I was there, that these little moments, you know, stuff like his barbecue sauce, this man was a pit master, all right? I don't care. You could throw down with Bobby Flay if you wanted to. And, just remembering these little moments, those are the things that really, you know, fuel me and, you know, tell me to do better. Because he started to give up on his weight loss at a certain point. This is when things started to get really bad. But I remembered the portion where he didn't. It was right after his stroke. This man was walking without a cane. This man was walking upstairs. This man was, you know, losing weight. This man was breathing better. And what happened to him was that he didn't get a job in time. It was that the first job that he applied to was, you know, they didn't give him the position because people with disabilities are, you know, discriminated against when it comes to work like that. And he just, he got depressed. And I will never blame him for that. But he, you know, during that year or so, I've never been more inspired by a man. And I used to be really big, you know, Pepto-Bismol, you know. I was, 250 at a certain point? But, I mean, just seeing him do that, him after experiencing all this neurological damage, really, you know, changed who I wanted to be. And who I started to be. And, yeah, so I guess this is like a little tribute. But also, you know, like, don't sleep on weed either, okay? I'm just saying. But R.I.P. Uncle Robert. And we have a dog named Fatima, who he absolutely loved. And he used to sometimes slip her human food, and we would pretend like we didn't notice. Because, you know, like, a little bit, like, bad, but, like, okay, you know, guilty pleasure. I mean, who doesn't want to see a dog eating the pizza crust occasionally? It's pretty fun to look at. But I mean, yeah, so.
Thank you so much. Guys, I'd like to say the tagline of the show is disastrous earnestness, and not to imply that anyone's story is disastrous, but I really like the earnest aspect of it. Thank you so much.